Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, good evening. I hope you've had a great day today. I want to share with you at the start of this evening's broadcast just a word from Acts chapter 16, and then in a few minutes we're going to be interviewing an old friend, Matt Staver. He's not really old, but we are friends and have been for years. I want you to consider with me what happened to the Apostle Paul and his co-worker Silas as they were in Philippi. Paul cast a demon out of a fortune-telling slave girl who was following them around and sending what you might call a mixed message. This is actually one of my favorite passages in the book of Acts because there are so many lessons in it. But as a result of his successfully casting out the demons from that young woman, he was arrested and beaten and put in prison along with Silas. Paul was. They were severely flogged, it says in verse 22 of chapter 16. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, while they're there, around midnight, you know the story, they're praising God, singing hymns, and God sends an earthquake, and they are set free, and instead of just running out of the building, they stay around, and they lead the jailer and his family to the Lord. And the jailer took them, washed their wounds, verse 33, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and the whole family was filled with joy because they had come to believe in God. Now then, here's the part I want to zero in on today. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with this order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now, do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. Requesting, notice, not kicking them out, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. Then they left. Now, the reason that's important is that Paul and Silas, as Roman citizens, had had their rights violated. And they didn't protest. The citizens of Rome were not allowed to be treated in the way that Paul and Silas were treated. But when they were being mistreated, they didn't speak up on their own behalf. You'll see that it says, when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. That was the response of the magistrates the next day, because they hadn't realized what they were doing. It had to be called to their attention. But Paul didn't use his rights as a Roman citizen to prevent the beating. He didn't say, "Hey, stop this right now. I'm a Roman citizen. I deserve to have a trial. Under law, you cannot do this to me." When he was put in the jail, He didn't say to the jailer, you're going to be in a heap of trouble when my attorney finds out what has happened. He didn't do any of that. He was willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. And elsewhere, he talks about rejoicing in suffering, rejoicing in weakness and infirmity. So Paul wasn't just trying to advance his own cause and protect his own comfort. But the next day, after he had accomplished the mission God put him in jail for, after he'd had the privilege of leading the jailer and his family to the Lord, now he asserts his rights. Not because he's sort of come to his senses and realized, hey, I wasn't supposed to be treated like that. Paul already knew that. He was a sharp guy. He knew his rights. But he didn't always assert his rights, just as he would talk about his rights as an apostle. He had a right to financial compensation and sufficient income as a result of the ministry to provide for him and his wife, but he didn't use any of that. And the reason he didn't do that, and by the way, he was living a single life at that point, but he still talks about having a right to take a wife with him and so on. The reason he didn't assert his rights was because he was doing what he did in obedience to the Lord and for the glory of the Lord. So, here in Philippi, when his rights were violated, he didn't speak up on his own behalf. But the next day, when he's going to be leaving town, he realizes that he needs to speak up so that the magistrates know not to abuse the other believers there in Philippi. That this is not some despised group of nobodies that you can just trample over. And so Paul, who is himself leaving town, at this point he's got nothing to gain. If he's been told you can go now, why wouldn't he just get up and go? Because at this point, he wants them to understand that what they did was wrong, and he wants to be sure that the believers whom he's leaving behind, including the jailer and the jailer's family, and Lydia and her household, and others who'd come to faith in Christ there in Philippi, he wants to be sure that they are in a more secure position. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Matt Staver, who is one of my friends who heads up an organization that stands up on behalf of the rights of citizen believers in this country. The fact that you are a Christian in the United States of America does not mean that you don't have any rights. It doesn't mean that because you serve King Jesus, you are not supposed to be able to vote, because after all, that's just for people who are unspiritual. No, we have a responsibility as citizens, not just to speak up on our own behalf, but to speak up on behalf of others, to protect our fellow citizens. I've said many times before, when asked about self-defense and that kind of thing, if somebody tries to hurt me, I don't have a tendency to fight back. But if I see someone unjustly treating someone else, I don't just have a right to intervene. I have a responsibility, as God directs, to intervene and seek to defend the defenseless. That's why I care about pro-life issues. I'm not afraid that somebody's going to abort me. And I'm not just trying to control the behavior of people everywhere. But I am concerned about a defenseless child being torn limb from limb. I am concerned about women being lied to and mistreated in abortion clinics all over this country. I am concerned about an organization like Planned Parenthood taking my tax dollars and using them to do evil. And so I have a right and a responsibility as a citizen to speak up and to seek to bring about justice as opposed to injustice. Now, I am not suggesting that everybody everywhere needs to be involved in politics or needs to be involved in some sort of activist program. And what I am suggesting is this. We need to appreciate the fact that there are people called by God to do that very thing. There are people that God has raised up to defend the rights of others. And one of those is Matt Staver, and he is our guest this evening on the broadcast.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Folks, my guest is Matt Staver. He is founder and chairman of the Liberty Council, and we appreciate so much their valiant and successful efforts very often at standing up for religious freedom, sanctity of human life, and the family. And Matt holds many other positions as well, chairman of the Freedom Federation, Salt and Light Council. And from Facebook, I see that he also works out. He does a lot of good things, and I appreciate it. And the reason I wanted to talk to him today is because recently there was a nomination that was made by our president of a person named Chai Feldblum, if I'm saying that correctly, who has been a real warrior on behalf of advancing the LGBTQ agenda. And this obviously is of concern because her service on the EEOC could be very harmful for people of faith. Now, it ends up that that nomination was not confirmed by the Senate, and because it wasn't confirmed, she's not going to be automatically renominated. But the fact that she was nominated by a president who in the past has been friendly to religious freedom is the sort of thing that we need somebody keeping an eye on. And Matt, I asked if you'd please come on the broadcast and kind of share with our folks how this is emblematic of sort of an ongoing struggle in D.C., across our nation, and around the world.
Well, let's give a little background as to who this person is.
Please.
This individual was nominated, or I should say, appointed by President Barack Obama in 2009.
Yes.
That means that he didn't think he could get her through the Senate, so consequently he waited for the Senate to go home, and he appointed her.
Right.
And when you recess appoint, you have a year in that position, and then you come back and you have to be voted on. Well, she'd been in that position for a year, and she got confirmed by the Senate. That's how she got on there. Before that, she was a professor, and she has written some very radical statements about the LGBT agenda versus religious liberty. Mm-hmm. And in all cases, virtually every situation, frankly, she can't think of a situation in which LGBT should not trump religious freedom. In every situation, she believes LGBT should always trump religious freedom. So whether it's the baker or the florist, whatever it might be, LGBT wins, religious free exercise loses. She has been on the EEOC since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
The EEOC is the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. So through that commission, they then look at federal law regarding non-discrimination in the workplace. And, of course, that's what her agenda has been, to push those issues of LGBT.
Right.
She came up for the end of her term during the Trump administration last year. And President Trump, understand, has been making some amazing confirmations or nominations, I should say, of judges and so many other places,
mm-hmm.
of people who have solid core values, particularly in the judicial arena, people who believe in the Constitution.
Yes.
For whatever reason, someone convinced him or gave information erroneously to him that she, Chai Feldblum, should be renominated for another term. And that's what happened, and that's what we ultimately opposed. The good news is this. The nomination came to an end when the old Senate reached its end, and the new Senate was sworn in just a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that she's not available for confirmation anymore by the Senate. However, she was renominated once under this administration, and we just need to make sure that she's not renominated again, because she is bad news for religious freedom mm-hmm. in the EEOC, because that's like having the fox guard the hen house, if you will.
Yes. Well, and again, now your organization keeps an eye out for these sort of things. You've got your ear to the ground, but this is just an example of the ongoing power struggle in D.C. as there are various personalities being put forward, people with various resumes and positions. And understandably, Christians are not the only people in America who have their own set of values and concerns. And so there are people who are trying to advance causes, and sometimes these agendas are very much in conflict. So somebody needs to be watching out, and you're one of the folks, and your organization is a group of the folks who are watching out for us.
That's right. We have an office in Washington, D.C., and this is just one of many matters that we monitor, and this has been on our radar for a number of months. Again, it's really good news. As we spoke to members of the Senate about Kai Feldblum, not to confirm her, and they did not vote on her. She was not brought up for a vote, mm-hmm. meaning that her nomination died. But this is just one of many, and you have to understand what happens in Washington, D.C. This is a nomination, so it may be a little bit more public, but there's a lot of legislation that gets amended as it's moving through the process, and sometimes there are people that ultimately want to tag on something to that piece of legislation that would make it be difficult for people to vote against, but is like a Trojan horse, if you will. So we have mm-hmm. to monitor all of these different things as we watch what's happening in Washington, D.C. And then when we find out something that people need to act on, we'll let people know so that they can make a decision and voice their opinion. And that's what happened in this particular case. People voiced their opposition and their opinion, and the good news is so far we've dodged the bullet, but we have to continually monitor the situation.
Now, if people want to stay abreast of these sorts of things, they can go to your website, which is a nice short web address, just lc.org. Is that right?
Yeah, lc.org is very simple. Just lc.org is the website, and you can go there. You can sign up for a number of emails that are there that will get you informed and keep you involved in these and many other issues.
Now, again, LC stands for Liberty Council, and Matt is the founder and chairman, and I am signed up, and I get those emails, and that's why when I saw this, I said, I want to have Matt on the show again. Matt's graciously been on this broadcast before, and we appreciate so much his work. Matt, as you look at really the deep, deep, deep divide and hostility between factions in this country, what is your sense of hope for the future?
Well, what I think is happening is obviously at the core root is a spiritual warfare. You know, Deuteronomy 28 and Romans 1 have some interesting statements, both of them essentially indicating what happens when you abandon God. Deuteronomy says you have a confused thinking and mind.
Mm-hmm.
Romans essentially says the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what we see happening is the lack of common sense, because we have in our society divided between those who have a belief in God and those who don't. And there's become a very militant atheist, secularist, and other agenda that is really targeting our Christian values, including the LGBT agenda. So what we see happening is this divide over these core Judeo-Christian values. But, you know, we have to understand the context of the spiritual warfare, and we also need not get discouraged by the negative media and reports that you hear. So much of it is distorted. It's mm-hmm. wrong. Mm-hmm. It's designed to mentally discourage you so that you just give up the battle or change your mind. And you just have to stay the course. Jesus said to his disciples, if they have persecuted me, they're going to persecute you.
Amen.
So don't be surprised when that persecution comes to you, because they first hated me, meaning Jesus. If they first hated Jesus, they're going to target his followers as well.
Amen. And I'm so glad you shared that, because that's vital for people to understand. This is not something new. This was happening in Jesus' day. They actually didn't pat him on the back. They whipped him on the back, and they nailed him to a cross, and they hung him up to die. But God used that to bring salvation to all who will trust in him. And so we should be rejoicing even when there is opposition. Jesus specifically commands us in the Sermon on the Mount that if there's persecution for righteousness' sake, we're supposed to rejoice. We're not supposed to say, poor me. So, you know, that doesn't mean, however, that we just cave as citizens of this country to the various attempts on the part of people to oppress the innocent, and, you know, balancing that, trusting in God, doing what he says, and at the same time standing up for the rights of preborn children, standing up for the rights of our fellow citizens when they are being treated in an unjust manner in the courts. This is also part of our responsibility, but we need to do it wisely and forcefully and exhibiting love, not hatred.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you go to Isaiah, where the king of Assyria came after the king of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
He was 46-0, never lost a battle. There's no way that Jerusalem could have resisted the superpower of the earth at that time.
Yes.
And they tried to intimidate them to surrender.
Mm-hmm.
You'll live, you're going to be displaced, but we'll keep you alive. But if you resist, there's no way. We're 46-0. And what Isaiah did and Jeremiah is they prayed to God, and Isaiah said to King Hezekiah, do not be afraid of the words that you have heard. The Lord will intervene, and the Lord did, miraculously so. And it was now 46-1 because Assyria did not win that battle, but God did on behalf of his people. So just stay encouraged. You know, the Lord's already blazed the trail, and we just need to be informed, we need to be involved, and we need to keep our eyes on the Lord.
Amen. God bless you,
God
man.
God bless. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.